And now, live from Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is the WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari.
Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Countdown for blast-off. X minus one.
Richard Diamond, private detective.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
Well, it's about 8 minutes after 11 p.m. here. It is time for the WGN Radio Theater Program 54, Lisa Wolf. What do you think of that?
That's
longevity.
Yes.
We've been on the air a long time.
I was going to say 53 was last night, so we're up to 54.
You can count. Very, very good. It is February 21st, 2016, and we have some classic radio shows for you this evening. We'll be here till 2 o'clock in the morning. We're here every Saturday and every Sunday night from 11 p.m. until 2 a.m. playing classic radio shows. All your favorites, Jack Benny, Burns and Allen, The Whistler, Suspense, The Shadow, all your favorite classic shows from the 1930s, 40s, and 50s. And tonight we have Night Beat starring Frank Lovejoy. We have The Burns and Allen Show starring George Burns and Gracie Allen. And then a good mystery, a very rare mystery. I think they only produced about 20 episodes of this, and I thought we'd play one tonight. Creeps by Night from 1944. I think you'll love hearing that. You'll want to pull the covers up close, right, Lisa?
Well, that's what you'll be doing around 1 o'clock tonight.
I will be. I'll be taking a little snooze by then. I took a nap, though, today, so I should be okay.
Oh, good.
You won't have to wake me.
We'll all be happy.
All right, so all of this is brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
Dum, 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 dum. It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
The Legend of Tarzan is an upcoming action-adventure film and stars this actor in the title role of Tarzan.
Wow, really?
Yes.
I'm in this movie?
Yes.
Oh, man. I always wanted to play Tarzan in the movies.
I bet.
When I was a kid, I had like my leopard skin bathing suit.
Don't want to go there.
And a rubber knife. My mom wouldn't give me a real knife as a kid.
That's a good mom.
So that's probably a very good mom. What do they win if they know the answer to this?
They're going to win a pair of tickets to the Midwest premiere of New Country, which is running right now at the Den Theater.
The Den Theater.
That's right.
Two tickets. You can win two tickets. The number to call, 312-981-7200. Now, here is a hint. This actor played Eric Northman on True Blood from 2008 through 2014.
I ask you to do one thing for me. Bring me Bill Compton. And you said done. So why wasn't it done?
All right, if you know who that is, give us a call, 312-981-7200. He's playing Tarzan in the new movie coming out. We'll find our winner after this short break.
This is the one and only WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's hear that movie clip again.
I ask you to do one thing for me. Bring me Bill Compton. And you said done. So why wasn't it done?
Jim from Skokie, why wasn't it done? You there?
Yes.
How you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
Great, thanks for calling in. Who is that celebrity?
Alexander Skarsgård.
You are right, and you are a winner. You have won two tickets to the Midwest premiere of New Country, and it's starring Illinois native Mark Roberts, who is the creator of the hit TV sitcom Mike and Molly. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
All right, so this is exciting. This is at the Den Theater on Milwaukee Avenue, running through May 14th. Check it out at newcountrytheplay.com. Thanks so much, Jim, for calling in and for winning on the WGN Radio Theater.
Okay, thank you.
Take care, Jim.
All right, Lisa, you ready for our first classic radio show?
I sure am. Night Beat.
I don't know. Night Beat, yeah, it was a good series. You know, it was set in Chicago,
yep.
This series. I mean, it was produced out of Los Angeles, but it was set in Chicago. It was a newspaper drama, as heard on NBC, began in February of 1950. Frank Lovejoy, big movie star back in those days, played Randy Stone, reporter for the Chicago Star, and he covered the Night Beat. He roamed the Windy City, searching for human interest stories for his column. And L.A.'s supporting best, Joan Banks, Parley Bear, William Conrad, Paul Frees. It was in the supporting cast, and it was last heard in 1952. I know you're going to like this. It's called The Girl from Kansas. It stars Frank Lovejoy. June 5th, 1950. Here's part one now of Night Beat.
Wheaties presents Night Beat. On stage tonight from Hollywood, Night Beat, another in the Wheaties big parade of exciting half-hour presentations. Night Beat.
Hi, this is Randy Stone. I cover the Night Beat for the Chicago Star. Stories start in many different ways. This one began with young love and ended with old death.
Night Beat, starring Frank Lovejoy as Randy Stone.
This working at night and trying to sleep in the daytime is all wrong. It's getting so lately, my only contact with sunshine is my friendly little bottle of vitamins. The kind of tan you get from munching on a fistful of vitamins is nothing, believe me. Tonight, leaving that ever-loving bed was really a chore. I scraped a razor across my face, and I bathed my fevered brow with cold water to scatter the cobwebs. And I headed uptown for police headquarters and a couple of one-syllable words with my old friend, Sergeant Kalski. Kalski was on his way in to watch an early evening show-up, and I tagged along. If you've never been in a police show-up room, it's kind of like a little theater. The bad actors are the prisoners filing across the brightly lit stage, and the audience sitting in the dark are hard-bitten, weary detectives who've seen most of the performers too often before, and they know all the dialogue down to the last whimper. The line coming out now were women, an even half dozen assorted sizes and ages.
Okay. Now just stand back against that measurement chart on the wall and face front.
Yeah, we know.
The usual cross-section on the police blotter of any large city. Shoplifters, thieves, narcotics suspects, husband beaters, and an occasional common garden variety drunk.
You, on the end. What's your name? You've been here before.
That's a lie. Never been here before in my life.
What's your name?
I refuse to say anything without the advice of the proper party.
Kind of hurt the old girl's feelings there, Kalski.
No. Not her, Randy. Her feelings were pickled in alcohol years ago.
Uh-huh. How about the young one there?
Good-looking kid, huh?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It doesn't seem to belong somehow.
They all belong, Randy. You can't tell by how they look. Why, that innocent-looking doll with her baby blue eyes.
Yeah, I know. I know. Don't tell me. Probably killed her grandmother. Only two will get you five. Whatever she did, it's a first offense. That kid looks half scared to death.
Hey, you on the far end. What's your name?
You mean me?
That's right.
I'm sorry I can't see you. These lights are so bright.
You're not supposed to see me. Step out a little. Just answer the question. What's your name?
Linda Johnson. But I'm here by mistake.
Quiet.
This is the truth. I want to explain. I don't belong here.
You'll have a chance to explain in court, miss. This is just a show-up. Why are you in here?
I don't know. I just arrived in Chicago this morning, and they arrested me.
Well, what did they say you did when they booked you? What was the charge? All right, girls, that's all. That's all, matron.
Well, as I was saying, Kosky, this kid undoubtedly polished off a grandmother with an axe.
All right, Randy. So maybe it's the first offense. Maybe even a mistake, like the girl says. But you haven't looked at the book yet to see what the charge says.
Well, anyway, can I talk to her? It might be something for me.
Sure. Go ahead to the women's division. Tell the matron I okayed it.
Maybe it's got something to do with the stars, the zodiac sign I was born under. But I've always been a sucker for three things that spell trouble. That last little drink for the road, a right cross to the jaw, and a girl who still looks pretty with a jug full of tears streaming down her face. You'd think a fella'd know better. Oh, well. I went around to the woman's division for a close-up of the kid with the misty eyes. There was a lady cop at the desk. When I asked her about Linda Johnson, she gave me a funny smile.
You're a little late, Randy. She's being released.
I just saw her at the show-up.
That's right, but she's made bail since. They'll be bringing her out in a minute.
What was she in on?
Grand theft, I think. Well, let me see. Yeah, that's right.
Any details?
Swiped a fellow's wallet in a bar. Arresting officer found it in her purse.
Ooh, nice kid.
Oh, here she comes now.
Would you mind holding my watch while I talk to her?
Better wait till she's released, Randy. Then we won't be responsible.
Okay, wait here. Linda Johnson, Meg.
Papers clear?
Yeah, all taken care of.
Personal property release?
All signed. You want to open up?
Okay. I guess that's it, Miss Johnson. You can go now.
You mean you're letting me go?
That's right. Until the hearing. Tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., Department 5. Released on bail.
Oh, but I don't have enough money for bail. They said it was $500.
It's all paid. Bonding company posted bail half an hour ago.
But there must be a mistake. Who paid it? I don't even know anybody in Chicago.
Well, somebody evidently knows you, honey. And pretty well, too.
But who?
Don't you really know?
Oh, no. It's crazy. First I'm arrested and I don't know why, and now I'm bailed out and you won't tell me who put up the money.
I'm sorry, Miss Johnson. We don't have any way of knowing that. You can check with the bonding company in the morning. Probably a friend. Or maybe your folks.
Oh, no. No, they don't even know where I am. They mustn't ever know.
This kid was scared, but good. Her eyes had the bewildered expression of a little girl that's been whipped for something she didn't do and can't understand why. Up close, she was even more beautiful than she'd looked under those glaring white lights in the show-up. Her cheeks were pale, except for that bright flush of red high up. Her eyes were big and soft, and her lips were full and almost trembling with a strange sort of excitement. What happened? Suddenly, I heard gypsy violins in the background. And she was just a gal, and I was just a guy.
Oh!
It was as though she'd heard my thoughts. Suddenly, she swung around and looked straight at me, only then realizing that I was there.
Oh, I...
Her face turned a gorgeous red, and then she turned quickly and hurried out of the building.
Careful. She'll get more than your watch, Randy.
Yeah. I'll be seeing you. I followed the girl out the front door and down the steps to the street. It was raining. She hesitated a moment, looked around as if she weren't sure which way to go, and then turned towards the corner. I ran and caught up with her. Excuse me.
What is it? What do you want?
Miss Johnson?
But they told me I could go.
Yeah, that's right.
Then why are you following me?
Oh, don't be frightened. I wanted to talk to you.
Are you a detective? Are you supposed to follow me? Is that it?
No, it's nothing like that. I just want to talk to you.
I don't know you. I don't want to talk to anyone.
Well, look, you're a stranger in Chicago. I just thought I might be able to help you.
No, you can't.
Oh, now, come on. Get under this awning. You're getting yourself all wet.
Don't touch me. Leave me alone or I'll call a...
You call a cop?
Oh.
Come on, you better get under the awning. I was in the show-up back there a while ago. It seems like they're not exactly inclined to believe your stories.
Then you are a detective.
No.
Well, who are you? What do you want? It's been like a nightmare since I got off the train this morning. First that man, then the police, and now you. What's happening to me?
Well, I can't answer for the first two, but the number three boy is a reporter fellow named Randy Stone.
A newspaper reporter.
No, don't say it that way. It's better than selling dope.
I should have known you wouldn't understand.
Where are you going?
Let me alone.
Come back here, you little fool. Wait a minute, you're going through a red light. She stepped off the curb against the signal. A big green sedan gunned up the street, throttled wide open, and raced through the intersection. Linda, look out! Get back to the curb. You want to get killed?
That car.
Did it hit you?
No, but the man at the wheel. He was the man whose wallet they said.
Now, look, lady, look, I'm a real simple fellow. When things come too fast, I get all mixed up. Now, what do you say we start at the beginning and in that doorway so that we don't get soaked?
I'm sorry. Name is...
Yeah, I got that. It's Linda Johnson, and you just arrived in Chicago this morning. Where from?
Molina, Kansas.
Did you come here alone?
Of course I came alone.
All right, don't get sore. I just asked a question.
But the way you asked it...
You said you didn't know anybody in Chicago. A kid like you shouldn't be running around alone.
I am not a kid.
Well, I meant you're kind of young. A girl your age floating around a big city on the loose.
For your information, Mr. Stone, I am old enough to go wherever I please.
Yeah, but not old enough to stay out of trouble, it seems.
What about this guy in the green car, this wallet guy?
I met him last night on the train.
Didn't your mother ever tell you about talking to strange men on trains?
My mother has nothing to do with it. If she had her way, I'd never have left Molina.
That might not have been a bad idea.
Oh, if she hears about this, it'll kill her. You won't put anything in the papers, will you?
Oh, so that's it. You ran away from home.
I didn't run away. I just couldn't stand living in that narrow little town any longer, with nothing to do, no place to go, nobody to talk to. Day after day, being around
Nothing but people who love you? Yeah, that gets a little boring, doesn't it? All right, so you didn't run away. You left home, and then you met this man on the train.
He was pleasant to me. We had a drink together in the club car, that was all. Today I met him again in the lobby of my hotel, and he drove me out to this place, the Rainbow Club. But then I didn't like the way he was acting, and I wanted to leave. But he wouldn't let me.
What do you mean, he wouldn't let
me? He just wouldn't let me. And then a policeman came in, and I started to call the policeman, but before I could, Mr. Blake called him and said I'd stolen his wallet.
Wasn't there anybody else around?
Just the bartender.
Well, what did he say?
He said he saw me take it out of Mr. Blake's pocket while we were at the bar.
And then the policeman found the wallet in your purse?
Yes, but I didn't take it. I didn't.
Why would anybody want to frame you on a thing like that?
Oh, you don't believe me, do you? You don't believe me either.
Well, I don't know. The whole thing's a little strange. If you're telling the truth, that... Oh, why don't kids like you stay home where they belong?
Oh, let me alone. Just let me alone.
Look, Linda, whether you like it or not, I'm taking you to your hotel. If the driver of that car is the guy you say he is, he's the one that might have gotten you bailed out of the clink.
But he had me arrested. Why would he have me bailed out?
To get you outside where he could kill you.
What?
Oh, sister, you're really not old enough to be out in the rain.
General Mills is bringing you Nightbeat, starring Frank Lovejoy as Randy Stone.
All right, you got it?
I've got it.
General Mills.
Got it.
The makers of Wheaties, Breakfast of Champions,
oh,
Lisa.
Oh, let's not talk about that.
No, let's not. All right, that's the first portion of Nightbeat from June 5th, 1950, The Girl from Kansas, starring Frank Lovejoy. Let's take a break here on the WGN Radio Theater. Oh, yeah. What is this song again now? I know this song. Call Me, right?
Call Me Baby.
Blondie?
Blondie, yeah.
I have two beautiful blondies in the studio here with us. Maureen Kelly and Lisa Wolf. And we'll talk to Maureen in a little bit. We have a sponsor that is going to be on the show. And it's a terrific product, Epizin. And we're going to talk to the co-founder a little later. We're going to, you know, make you wait a little while. We'll tell you all about Epizin. It's a terrific product for your skin. And we'll do that in the next hour here on WGN, right?
That's right.
All right. But right now, let's get back to this episode of Night Beat.
And now back to Night Beat and Randy Stone.
Yeah, like King Solomon once said, latch onto a pretty girl and you latch onto trouble. And this kid, Linda Johnson, wasn't just pretty, she was beautiful. A genuine 14-carat trouble doll. All in one day, she's arrested, bailed out, and almost killed. So, just like the Chamber of Commerce would want me to, I escorted the fair visitor to our city to the safety of her own hotel room, a middle-class business hotel in the Loop. Now that we are in off the street, she seemed a little more relaxed. She shook the rain out of her hair, she turned on the radio, and we sat down on the couch. Frank Blake you met on the train. Did you ever see him before?
No. He was a complete stranger.
Why would a complete stranger want to kill you?
No, maybe I just imagined that was Frank driving the car. And anyway, it was my fault for walking against the signal.
Uh-huh. All right, now let's see. You met him in the club car on the train, and you talked with him a while. And then what?
Then we went back to our own cars. I said goodnight at his compartment, then went on through to my own car.
Didn't he invite you in?
Certainly not. He was traveling with someone else.
A lady?
No, a man.
You sure about that?
Of course. I saw him when Frank opened the door. But please, let's not talk about it anymore.
Okay, let's talk about you. Can I turn this down a bit?
Mm-hmm.
Why'd you come to Chicago?
Oh, usual reason, I guess. Why does any girl come to a big city? So that she can live a little. So that she can be on her own.
Maybe you're not old enough to be on your own.
That's what you keep saying, isn't it? Well, come here.
What?
There. You still think I'm not old enough?
No, you're old enough.
But what?
Oh, so you want to play. Now, you're 22, you read a book, you got some ideas about what life in the big city's all about?
That's right.
So you're not a little girl anymore, hmm?
No, I'm not.
All right, big girl, I'll play. But don't forget you started this little game, and don't say later you weren't playing for keeps.
I won't.
Well, you see the way the big fellas play, it's a little different. They put an arm around your waist, like this.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty hard to get away, even if a big girl wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And they hold you closer and closer until you don't think you'll be able to breathe anymore. And then his face is so close to yours that you can't see his features anymore. Just, oh, Linda, you're beautiful.
Oh, don't let me go.
See what I mean, big girl?
Oh, you just wanted to make a fool of me, didn't you?
Oh, did I?
The door. There's somebody at the door.
Yeah, that's right. There's always somebody at the door. Open it.
Oh, but you here, won't it look...
Oh, certainly not. I'm a guest. You look perfectly respectable, very properly attired. The only thing you're not wearing is your dignity.
Oh,
now go
you...
on, open the door.
Hello.
Frank.
That's right, inside.
Well, well, what do you know? The man in the green sedan.
Correct.
Also the man named Frank Blake.
The same.
Also
the man with a gun.
I see.
So don't move,
oh,
huh?
Please, Frank.
Keep your voice down, Linda.
All right, mister, what's it all about?
Don't you know?
No, I'm afraid I don't. Wait. Oh, no. Don't tell me I fell for that one.
It's not funny.
Oh, let me see. This is the place where you say, I'm the lady's husband. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right, wise guy. I'm the lady's husband.
Oh, no, Randy, he's lying.
Shut up, Linda.
And then I'm supposed to ask how much it'll cost for the outraged husband to forget about the whole thing. Oh, no.
You're pretty smart, mister.
Oh, the badger game, the oldest game in the world, and I fell for it. Wait till Kalski hears about this.
Oh, he's lying, Randy. He's lying.
Said, shut up.
Oh.
Look out, mister. Hey. Drop it. Hey. Now get your gun.
Come back here, you.
When he dropped the gun, I kicked it across the room. As he scrambled for it, I scrambled for the door, and I made the street and nothing flat. I was traveling so fast, the night clerk in the lobby could have mistaken me for a flying saucer. And I was sore, not only at them, but myself, for being taken for a sucker. From the cigar store on the corner, I telephoned Sergeant Kalski. In less than 10 minutes, police were posted at every entrance to the hotel, and Kalski and I were on our way back up to Linda Johnson's room. All right, go ahead, Kalski. Say it. I got it coming.
Well, anybody can make a mistake, Randy. Like I say, you can't always tell by a pretty face.
Oh, but that badger game, it's the oldest racket in the world, and I fall for it hook, line, and sinker. And here I am giving her lectures to go home to her mother.
Hey, quiet now. How far down the hall?
It's the third door.
Stay close to the wall.
That's it. It's the next one.
And stand back. He may shoot.
I'm back.
Open up, Blake. It's the police. Come out, Blake, with your hands up. Blake, Miss Johnson. Okay, Randy, we're going in. What? It's open. Come on.
Well, there's no one here.
Oh, yes, there is. Look, behind the bed.
Linda.
With a pillow over her head.
Ooh, drenched in chloroform.
Get rid of it. Here, give me a hand with a wrench.
Let me get a window open first. There.
Now she's breathing.
Linda, come on. Come on, Linda. Come on, wake up.
Come on, girl. Take a deep breath.
Oh, brother, how stupid can a guy get? The kid was on the level. We almost let her get herself bumped off.
What do you mean, we?
Oh, don't.
Linda, it's all right. It's Randy Stone.
Oh, where is he? Frank. He tried to kill me.
It's all right, Linda. The police are here. You're going to be okay now.
Oh, you were right, Randy. He was trying to kill me.
Okay. Let's have it straight now, miss. Why did he do it?
But I don't know. I don't know.
Was he your husband?
Oh, no, of course not.
Boyfriend who was jealous?
No, no.
Well, did you pull a job together? Were you holding out on him? Is that the reason?
I told you I didn't even know him.
And what have you got on him? What do you know?
Nothing.
Oh, you must know something. There's a reason. There's got to be a reason. Now tell us, miss, why did he do it?
I don't know. I just don't know.
Oh, take it easy, Kosky. Can't you see she really doesn't know?
Okay, so she doesn't know. But there's a reason. There's always a reason.
Unless maybe Frank Blake made a mistake.
What mistake?
Well, unless maybe Frank Blake had the wrong girl. Unless maybe he was supposed to kill somebody else that he didn't even know and he thought Linda was...
Come again?
Yeah, that's right. No, that's no good.
Yeah, I better send out a bulletin. Now, what about this guy, Blake? What did he look like?
About your size, I'd say.
Yeah, that's right, Kolsky. About your age, too.
5'11", 180 pounds, 32 years old.
Oh, come again.
The color of hair?
Dark.
Eyes?
I didn't notice. Linda?
I wouldn't be able to tell.
What do you mean you wouldn't be able to...
I can't tell colors. I never have been able to.
You mean you're colorblind?
Isn't it stupid?
Why, certainly not. It'd be much worse if we couldn't tell the color of your eyes.
Thank you.
Okay, Miss Johnson. I guess we'll have to take it back to headquarters again.
To jail?
Oh, now, wait a minute. Kosky can't take her back to jail again tonight. She's out on bail. Besides, don't you think enough things have happened to her already?
But she's not safe here, Randy. It was just lucky we got here this time. It's for your own protection, miss.
Oh, Randy, I'm frightened. You were right. I shouldn't have come to Chicago.
Yeah, well, you're here now. Look, Kosky, I know we can't leave her here alone. How about my place? We can drop her off at my place. You'll be safe there, Linda. We left Linda safely locked in my apartment, and then I went back to headquarters with Sergeant Kolsky. For the next 2 hours, we looked at pictures, full views and profiles of every mobster who had ever been mugged in the state of Illinois. And then I stopped. There he was, staring right up at me off a card. Frank Blake, only here he was called Frankie Bolano.
Recognize him?
Oh, yes, that's him. Who is he?
Let's see the card. Part of the old Red Machete gang.
Never heard of them.
Now, wait a minute. Let me look up Machete. Mabel, Mesa. Yeah, Machete. Yeah. How do you remember?
Yeah, Donald Machete, alias Red Machete, convicted murder first degree, sentenced life July 1941, escaped June 1949, shot by deputies while swimming across Des Plaines River, drowned, body not recovered. Well, he's dead. That doesn't tie in.
No.
Unless the guy on the train, the guy in Blake's compartment.
And they thought Linda had seen him.
Well, say he didn't drown. Say he got away. They've been hiding him out for over a year. And now they were moving him.
Let me see that card. Height 5'8", weight 160, age 42, hair red, eyes blue. Identifying marks, bright red strawberry mark on left cheek. No wonder they thought Linda had spotted him.
Only she couldn't have. She's colorblind. Sure, that's why she walked right through that red light tonight. She can't tell one color from another. From there on, it was a breeze. We knew what we were looking for, Frankie Bolano and Red Machete. And with Kolsky knowing all the right answers about all the wrong people, we found them both right where we should have looked in the first place. In a private room over the Rainbow Club where Linda had been arrested that afternoon. After I'd seen them safely into a cell, I got on the phone and called my apartment. You know, come to think of it, it was the first time I'd ever dialed my own number. A girl answered.
Hello?
Kind of a sleepy girl with a beautiful voice.
What did you say?
I said you're beautiful, Linda.
Who is this?
Randy Stone, that nice-looking young fellow in whose apartment you've been living. Yeah, well, wake up, Linda. It's all over.
You found him?
Oh, yes. Your late friend, Mr. Blake, is now resting comfortably in the city Hoosgow on a slight charge of attempted murder, aiding a penitentiary escapee, harboring a fugitive, and deliberately framing a pretty little girl from Molina, Kansas. I mean a pretty big girl from Molina, Kansas.
But why, Randy? Why did he do it?
Oh, it's a long story, but mainly because you started to holler copper, and he just did some fast thinking, and he hollered first.
That I didn't...
Oh, sure. No more charges. They even threw your records away. Great little fixer, this Stone fella. You ought to get to know him better.
I want to. Are you coming home soon?
Oh, no. Not my place. You know, neighbors.
But I want to see you, Randy. You've been so wonderful to me.
Oh, sure, but...
Don't you want to see me?
Oh, I do, Linda, sincerely. I, look, I'll tell you what. You hop in a cab right away. Meet me on the corner of Dearborn and LaSalle. Can you remember that?
But why?
Oh, never mind why. It's 4:30 now. How long will it take you?
No time at all. But my clothes, I haven't changed. My bag's still at the hotel. I didn't even unpack.
Oh, never mind. I'll pick it up for you on the way. You'll hurry?
Oh, yes. I'll hurry, Randy.
Swell. I'll have something for you. Hi, what kept you?
What do you mean, what kept me?
Never mind. Here, keep the change.
Sure. Thanks, Mac.
Oh, Randy, I hurried.
Hi.
I'm not frightened anymore.
Swell.
And I'm so happy. Hold me, Randy, close.
Here?
Don't mind me, folks.
Oh, you'll go away.
Where are we going, Randy?
This is it. Right here.
But this is a train station.
Uh-huh.
And you said you'd have something for me.
Oh, yeah. Here.
A ticket?
One way. To Molina, Kansas. Well, yes, Mom, I did the right thing, all right. I made the noble gesture, and now I feel pretty good inside. I feel like a big man. I feel like a big chump, if you want to know the truth. Who am I to suddenly get so noble where a beautiful girl is involved? Oh, well. Maybe if I rationalize long enough, I can kid myself into thinking she had to go home because she was running away from some unfinished business. You try to run away from things, but you can't ever run away from yourself. Who knows? Maybe someday I might try running away myself. Wonder what it's like in Molina. Copy, boy.
You are listening to Nightbeat on the Wheaties Big Parade.
Say, Frank Lovejoy, before you get away, I wanted to tell you that was a swell show.
Well, thank you, Frank Martin. It's nice to hear. I think you do a mighty solid job on the commercials, too, you know. Only I think if I were working on that end of the show, I'd tell the folks...
You're absolutely right, Frank Lovejoy. I'll make a note to be sure and say that Wheaties are 100% whole wheat, just about the crispest, nicest way there is to get all the good nourishment whole wheat has to offer. Any other suggestions?
Well, you certainly shouldn't forget that Wheaties...
Well, I should say not. They're breakfast of champions.
Yeah, and then that part about their...
Yep, America's favorite whole wheat flakes. That's an important point. Anything else, Frank?
Well, I think you ought to tell people that
Right. They can get Wheaties at their grocers anytime. Say, Frank, thanks for the help. That was fine.
Well, think nothing of it, old boy. Good night.
Nightbeat, starring Frank Lovejoy, is produced and directed by Warren Lewis and edited by Larry Marcus. Tonight's story was written by Warren Lewis with music by Frank Worth. The part of Linda was played by Barbara Fuller. In tonight's cast were Gerald Moore, Jeanette Nolan, Lou Krugman, and Francis Cheney. Listen next week at this same time and every week as Randy Stone searches through the city for the strange stories waiting for him in the darkness.
And this is the Wheaties man, Frank Martin, inviting you to listen also on Tuesday, that's tomorrow night, to the Penny Singleton Show on the Wheaties Big Parade. See you then.
Nightbeat comes to you from Hollywood. This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.
You know, Lisa, I always wanted to be on the box of a Wheaties, you know, my picture on a Wheaties box.
Well, sometimes unusual things happen to people who are on the boxes of Wheaties.
Yeah, I know. But I was never good at any sport, good enough to be
really?
On a Wheaties box. Maybe ping pong.
Ping pong is your sport.
Lisa came over, and we had a little party. Lisa came over and was beating everybody at ping pong.
Except for Carl.
That's right.
And Mike has video to show it.
Yeah, that's right.
Somewhere. Hidden in a vault somewhere.
That's okay. You hold on to that.
That was Nightbeat, June 5th, 1950. The Girl from Kansas, starring Frank Lovejoy. I hope you enjoyed that. Let's take a break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. Hour two of the WGN Radio Theater, 1206. This is show 54. Make sure you listen to the podcast if you miss any hour. You can podcast and listen to all 3 hours on Saturday and all 3 hours on Sunday here.
Are you going to let them know where to find the podcast, Carl?
You tell them, Lisa.
You can go to WGNRadio.com, or you can go to our Facebook page, which is WGN Radio Theater, and we post it the next day. It'll be posted tomorrow.
Or you could
hit the Use app.
Yeah,
Facebook,
I have the app.
And that will
this
actually
is very,
take you there.
This is very technical.
It is.
I'm terrified of technology. This hour, it's the Burns and Allen Show. You won't want to miss that. And then next hour, Creeps by Night, all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor's voice will be heard in the upcoming computer-animated comedy, The Secret Life of Pets, a look at what pets do when we leave them home alone.
All right, what do they win?
Oh, they're going to win two tickets to see New Country, which is running right now at the Den Theater.
All right, 312-981-7200, call to win tickets. And here's a hint. This actor is singing his song, Chopping Broccoli.
She bought some broccoli. She brought it home. She's chopping broccoli.
I can listen to that.
That is great.
Just over and over.
They're
all right,
smiling.
Call if you know who that comedian actor is. 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after this break.
You found us. This is the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's hear that movie clip again.
She bought some broccoli.
Oh, it's not a movie.
She brought it home. She's chopping broccoli.
That's definitely not a movie clip. It's definitely a song clip. And we've got Dan on the line from Skokie. Hey, Dan.
Hey, how's it going?
Great. How you doing?
Great.
Good. Who is that singing Chopping Broccoli?
That's Dana Carvey.
You are right. And you are a winner, Dan. You've won a pair of tickets to the Midwest premiere of New Country. It's starring Illinois native Mark Roberts, who is the creator of the hit TV sitcom Mike and Molly. It's playing at the Den Theater. And for more information, check out newcountrytheplay.com. Dan, thanks so much for calling in.
You bet. Thank you.
Take
for
care.
Letting me.
Yeah, for sure.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it. All right. This is the WGN Radio Theater. And in just a few minutes, we're going to tune in to the George Burns and Gracie Allen Show. But I want to welcome a good friend of mine, Maureen Kelly, who is the co-founder of Epizin. It's a skin product, and this thing is a miracle drug. It's really not a drug, though. It's an all-natural product, right?
Yeah, it's an all-natural zinc gluconate skin healer with taurine and lysine, and it treats all different skin conditions from eczema, dry skin, wounds, cuts, venous and diabetic ulcers, burns, shingles, rashes, bug bites.
I asked Maureen to come on because a friend of mine who I met Maureen and her husband through told me about this product because my skin is very, it was at least, very dry all
it
the time.
It looks very soft to me, Carl.
Thanks. Well, that's because I've been using Epizin, and I've been only using it like maybe 3 weeks, and immediately when I put it on, it already started making it seem so much better. And I just thought, you know what? We should have Maureen on just to talk about it, just to give you a little plug, because I know you've had this company for many years.
Yes.
And it's our listeners, I'm sure a lot of them have skin ailments like I do on my hands. And it's just it's a miracle.
Maureen, maybe you can tell us the impetus for why you started this product.
Yeah, we started the business because my husband had skin issues, eczema mainly, with lots of spots on his skin. And I had been in the health and beauty industry myself for over 25 years. And we started thinking about a natural skin solution for him. He had been to many dermatologists and put steroids on his skin, which began to thin his skin, and he was even concerned that he was going to get Cushing's disease,
mm-hmm.
which can happen with long-term use. So we started researching about skin issues and found that 90% of people were zinc deficient.
Mm.
So we found zinc gluconate, which makes this product unique. And the reason why it's unique is because zinc gluconate can penetrate into your skin cells and give you the best healing, whereas other zincs weren't able to do that.
All right, so let's just go over some. I know you said it earlier, but I want to make sure everyone listening understands. Here's what it can help. It can help, I mean, shingles. If you have shingles, which is a horrible thing to have, but if you have shingles and you put this on, it helps a lot on shingles. What are some of the other things that this miracle Epicin can help?
Eczema, itching skin, wounds, sores, cuts, leg ulcers, diabetic ulcers, rashes, bug bites.
Yeah, I mean,
there's more than one product in the line, right? I mean, some of them are more designated for pain. Can you tell us about the whole product line?
Sure. We have the regular Epizin, which is comes in a spray and a gel formula. And then we have Epizin plus lidocaine, which is indicated for like burns or wounds.
Anything where there's pain, right?
That's what lidocaine would be for.
Now, here's the great thing. Right? I know you have thousands and thousands of people that buy this product from your website. And they are repeat customers because they've tried it, and you have like a risk-free way for people to try it.
We do.
Right? And so all you have to do, and for this show, even if you call or you go to the website and you were to purchase it, you get $10 off by just putting the code in radio?
That's it.
Okay, so that's one thing. You get $10 off if you put in the code radio. You go to the website, and if you get this product and you use it for your ailment, and if it doesn't work for you, which it will work for you, but if it doesn't work for you, you get your money back.
Absolutely.
So there's no risk here in trying it. So tell our listeners how to get Epizin.
Okay, you can go to our website at epizin.com. That's EPIZYN.com.
All right, say it again. I'm going to write it down.
Epizin.com, EPIZYN.com.
All right, when you go there, and if you do want to try the product, which we hope you do because you'll love it, I'm using it and I love it. Make sure you put the code radio in there, get $10 off, and money back guarantee. You just can't lose.
We also posted that on our WGN Radio Theater Facebook page, which with a picture of the beautiful Maureen and where to go for her website. So if you forget or didn't have a pen with you to write it down,
we're also going to post some before and after, some actual before and after pictures of people that have used Epizin and what their skin looked like before they use it and after. Now, I don't know if that's up yet, but it will be up this week, because Maureen's going to get us some of those pictures. So check it out. But if they go to the website, they can see the pictures, right?
Yes.
All right. So check out the website. Do try this product, folks. It's great. I don't endorse things unless I try them myself. And if this really, really works. All right. Well, thanks, Maureen.
Thank you.
Great having
you
on the show.
Maureen.
All right. It's time for our second classic radio show for actually this morning, because we started at 11 o'clock. And it is now 12:17, time for Burns and Allen. We play a lot of George Burns and Gracie Allen because they're just two of the best. They're really a terrific duo. They were married in real life. They started on radio in 1932, ran 18 seasons, and had a very successful TV show as well. Time now for a March 23rd, 1943 episode called Making George Sick. Here's part one of the Burns and Allen Show.
Oh, George, we've got company.
This is Bill Goodwin speaking for Lever Brothers, makers of Swan, the new white floating soap that's purer than finest Castiles. Well, it's Tuesday night again. Time for another pleasant visit with George Burns and Gracie Allen, Jimmy Cash, and Paul Whiteman and his music. And now meet the people who live in the Burns house, George and Gracie. Well, this is the Burns' first morning back home after a brief visit to the East. And George is still sound asleep upstairs, peacefully unaware that at this moment a meeting is going on in his living room. Yes, you guessed it. It's that splendid organization whose very name is enough to give George the horrors, the Beverly Hills Uplift Society.
Order, girls. Come to order, please. It's time for the meeting.
Oh, but Gracie, we want to hear some more about New York.
Yes, it must be such a fascinating place.
Oh, well, New York is just a city, girls, exactly like Los Angeles. Only New York grew up and Los Angeles grew sideways, that's all.
Gracie, maybe you'd better open up the meeting. It's getting late.
Oh, yeah, of course, Jesse. All right. Ladies of the Beverly Hills Uplift Society, you may now consider yourselves opened up. Girls, while I was away, Vicki Gruskin took the minutes of the last meeting, and I think we all owe her a round of applause for her splendid work. Girls, a big hand for Vicki Gruskin. All right, that's enough, Vicki. I'll proceed with the minutes. The last meeting of the Beverly Hills Uplift Society was to have been held at the home of Mrs. Millie Taylor. But when her husband heard the news, he raised several objections and a floor lamp. However, the incident ended harmlessly when Mrs. Taylor grabbed it out of his hand and knocked out three of his front teeth with it.
My husband has a perfectly vicious temper.
He certainly has.
Yes, Millie, I'm afraid that someday he'll get really mad at you and you'll kill him.
Gracie, go ahead with the minutes.
Oh, yeah. We then decided to hold the meeting at the home of Mrs. George Burns, who was away in the East. So we entered through a second-story window.
It was such fun, Gracie. I hadn't shinnied up a drain pipe since I was a little girl.
Really, Blanche?
Yes, and that was easily 10 years ago.
Oh, easily. Well, to continue, the meeting was declared open by Mrs. Bagley, who wore the same old Kelly Green dress and a fascinator that obviously wasn't working. Oh, really, Vicki? You shouldn't let personalities creep into the minutes.
Well, I'm sorry, Gracie.
Well, you ought to be. There's no need to say things like that about our members. They know how badly they dress.
Well, I didn't mean anything wrong when I said it. I don't have to hurt your feelings.
Oh, my, there's the door. Excuse me, girl.
Yes, go ahead. Right there.
Hello, Mr. Postman.
Good morning, Mrs. Burns. Gosh, it's wonderful to see you again.
Oh, did you really miss me?
I should say I did. I missed your sparkling wit and your madcap gaiety, which is so similar to my own.
Oh, you're sweet. Well, did you ever make a trip to New York, Mr. Postman?
No, but I do correspond with a man who lives there, a Mr. Charles Atlas. He gives a course in bodybuilding.
Oh, and you take it?
Oh, no, I just write in and give him helpful hints. My body doesn't need improvement. It would be gilding a lily.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just forgot how strong you are.
No offense, Mrs. Burns. This uniform hides my physique. But in the gymnasium, all my friends say that I'm built like a brick chimney.
Sure you are.
Well, here's your mail, Mrs. Burns. A little package from New York.
Oh, a package. Oh, good. I'm so glad it came in time for the meeting. Goodbye, Mr. Postman.
Goodbye, Mrs. Burns. And remember, keep smiling.
Come back to water, girls. Come back to water. Now, in a little while, I'll have a surprise for you. But first, we'd better get on with the meeting. Is there any old business?
Yes, Gracie. We still haven't decided on the official club flower for us girls to wear.
And we haven't decided on our official club greeting either.
Well, girls, I had a marvelous idea about that. We can combine both of them.
Really, Gracie? How?
Well, now, for the club flower, we can wear goldenrod. And for the club greeting, we can sneeze at each other.
Oh, I think that's splendid, don't you, girl?
Hello, Gracie.
Oh, hello, Bill.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know I was interrupting a meeting.
Oh, it's all right, Bill. Girls, you all remember Bill Goodwin?
Gracie, look. Don't ever have Charles Boyer over here. You know, if they do that for me, for him, they'd blow the walls down. Well, I really came over to see George. Where is he, Gracie?
Oh, he's still in bed, Bill. You see, he couldn't get any sleep on the train last night. He just laughed all night long.
He laughed?
Yes, he shared his berth with my darling little duck. And you know how ticklish George is.
Yes, Grace. Well, I'll go wake him up.
Oh, now that you're here, Mr. Goodwin, we simply must take advantage of this opportunity.
Must we?
Yes. We know that you and Tootsie were in New York together, and we're dying to know whether you two lovebirds became more intimate.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Tootsie. I hardly saw you in New York, except when I happened to pass in front of the YMCA.
But you gave me a cake for my birthday, Bill.
Well, Tootsie, I give all my friends a cake for their birthday. Gee, it's a wonderful soap, isn't it? Yes, sir, there's nothing like a cake of swan, the new white floating soap. It's purer than finest Castiles and a regular suds and whiz.
Bill, I've got a new use for swan soap.
You have, Tootsie?
Uh-huh. I put it under my pillow so I'll dream of you.
Oh. Well, gee, thanks, Tootsie. You know, I dreamed about you last night.
Really?
Oh, yes, I dreamed that you were Mrs. Goodwin.
Bill, what were we doing?
Washing the dishes with swan.
Oh. But I was Mrs. Goodwin, huh?
Oh, yes, Tootsie, you were Mrs. Goodwin. You were washing the dishes, and I put my arms around you, and I said, "Let me help you, Mother."
Mother?
Well, sure, and you said, "No, son, with swan in the dishpan, I don't need any help. Tests show that swan suds faster than other white floating soaps, and it's so mild. And just look how it helps keep my hands soft and lovely." And I said, "That's right, Mom. Use swan for every soap and water job around the house."
Bill, how could you dream that I was your mother?
Well, I'll tell you, you remind me of her a lot, Tootsie. The way your eyes light up when you break a bar of swan in two. The way you walk as you put half of it in the kitchen for dishes and cleaning, and the other half in the bathroom for your hands and face, tub or shower. Well, goodbye, girls.
Wait, Bill. You said I remind you of your mother. Well, don't you always kiss your mother goodbye?
Oh, sure I do.
Well?
Well, Tootsie, see me Mother's Day. So long, girls.
Goodbye, girls.
George. Hey, George.
Oh, hello, Bill. I was just coming down. Gee, what a great sleep I had. Home sweet home.
Yeah.
Gracie probably has a wonderful breakfast all fixed. Come on, have a cup of coffee with us, Bill.
George, I wouldn't go in there. Let's have a cup of coffee at the drugstore.
Oh, huh? Not me, Bill. It's too noisy and crowded down there. I like peace and quiet.
George, don't go in there.
Why not? It's my own little home. My own little love nest. Come on, Bill. Oh, no.
All right, let's take a break from the Burns and Allen show broadcast from March 23rd, 1943, Making George Sick with George Burns and Gracie Allen. You know, in this cast, Mel Blanc and Bea Benaderet. And here's the interesting thing. Years later, Mel Blanc would play Barney Rubble on the Flintstones, and Bea Benaderet would play Betty Rubble.
Yeah,
they were
wife.
Husband and wife.
Right.
And here they are both on this Burns and Allen show going back to 1943. They didn't know it back then.
No, I can't imagine.
That in the 60s, they were gonna say, somebody, Hanna-Barbera,
right,
would say, "Hey, you guys, want to play these characters?" Also
and
in the
what
cast.
What great roles those were.
Oh, man. And the Alan Reed, who did a ton of radio.
Right.
And he was Pasquale on Life with Luigi, was Fred Flintstone. Elvia Allman's also in this show. This was sponsored by Swan Soap. Is that around anymore, Swan Soap? I don't know. Is it?
I haven't seen it.
We should do a show sometime all about, you know, with sponsors that are no longer in existence. I think it'd be fun to just do that and talk a little bit about the history of that sponsor and things. Should we do something like that? What do you think?
Yeah, that's a good idea. And it looks like Swan Soap is defunct.
It is defunct?
A quick internet search.
Wow, okay. Yeah, yeah. So Swan soap's not around. I remember it though. I mean, there was like a little swan, like a gold swan on a white bar of soap.
That makes sense, actually.
Because I was around back in 1943.
Yes, you were, and you needed soap.
I was 60. I think I was 60 years old back in 1943. Yeah. All right, let's take a break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, Lisa, rock out.
Rock out.
Or rock on.
Rock out.
Rock out. Rock on.
Rock off. Rock down.
Rock in.
Rock,
rock
and roll.
And roll. This is the WGN Radio Theater. If you didn't know it already, we're here Saturday and Sunday nights. Lisa Wolf and I, along with Mike Costella and Dan Long, we're here every Saturday, Sunday night. We play these wonderful radio gems of the 1930s, 40s, and 50s. You know, shows like Suspense and Gunsmoke and Jack Benny, Burns and Allen, which we're listening to, The Whistler, Inner Sanctum Mysteries, Dragnet, all your favorites are here on Saturday and Sunday nights. We play six programs, right, Mike?
Yeah, and Lisa does a great job on picking them out.
Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks for doing all the work. Mike and I just show up. It's like, you know, Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis, right?
Right.
Jerry Lewis used to do all the work. Jerry used to hand him a script when Dean would walk in. And that's kind of how it is
Carl's
with Lisa.
Carl's going to go take a nap, and Mike's going to go home and take a nap, and Dan and I are going to run this baby, right?
Lisa's like the Jerry Lewis of the show here. She does everything.
That's true.
All right, so we still have the conclusion of Burns and Allen. Then it's Creeps by Night from 1944. But let's tune this in now, the conclusion to the George Burns and Gracie Allen Show.
Well, Gracie, this is fine. After all I've said, our very first day home, you invite those idiotic women here again.
George, I've asked you 1,000 times not to call them idiots.
And I've asked you 1,000 times not to invite them here.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's compromise. You let me invite them here, and I'll let you call them idiots.
Well, I'm at the end of my rope. I've tried arguing with you, threatening you, pleading with you, even bribing you. I don't know what else to do.
Well, let me see now. Why, it is difficult to think of anything, isn't it?
Yeah.
Have you tried beating me?
No.
Oh, you see? You're always ready to give up.
Yeah, but beating you is one thing I can't do.
How do you know? I'm not as strong as I look.
Okay, I know when I'm licked. I'm done, finished, through.
Aha, that's the old spirit. Now you're talking, attaboy.
Gracie, won't you please give up that club?
Oh, if you only knew the girls better, you wouldn't ask me to do that, dear. Why, do you know that they're waiting for me to come back right now so they can give me a medal?
They're going to give you a medal?
Mm-hmm, to commemorate my concert in Carnegie Hall last week.
Who thought that up?
One of the very women you were just saying all those nasty things about.
Who?
Me.
Well, that's very sweet of you, giving yourself a medal.
I know, but I deserve it.
Oh, sure.
I made musical history when I played the piano in Carnegie Hall. Why, one critic said I was as good as Post.
As good as who?
Post. He said I played with all the depth and feeling of a Post.
Oh, yeah, great musician, that Post.
Mm-hmm.
Tall, skinny fella.
Well, I don't know him.
No,
I
well.
Wish you'd come in with me and watch the ceremony, George. The postman just brought the medal, and it's simply beautiful. It's got a picture of me on one side and a picture of a fish on the other.
A fish?
Yes. Well, you see, I figured out that I played the scale 196 times in Carnegie Hall last week. And, well, if you count the scales on the fish...
I get it. You don't have to finish it. I see the whole thing.
Well, will you come in with me and listen to the presentation speech, dear?
Well, why not? I might as well be good and miserable.
Girls, I took the liberty of bringing my husband back into the meeting with me. All those in favor of making him our guest of honor will please say aye. In favor of just making him a guest, please say aye. All those in favor of not throwing him out, please say aye. Aye. Sit down, dear.
Thanks.
And now, girls, it's time for my surprise, the presentation of the Gracie Allen Memorial Achievement Award.
It's a medal which will be given each year to the member who has done most to make our club famous. I'm the first winner because I not only made a recent contribution to musical history, but I also bought a medal. But who knows what the future may hold. Next year, Frances Fowler might win it with those new false eyelashes she invented.
Oh, well, they're really nothing, Gracie.
Why, I think they're clever. You should see them, George. They have 48 hairs, and when you go to the market, you pull one hair out for every ration point. Then, when your eyelashes are all gone, you stop buying.
Yes. I thought that. That's a very clever idea.
Yes. Yes. Well, now, who'd like to make the presentation speech? How about you, Clara?
Gracie, I simply couldn't. I've never made a speech.
Well, it won't be hard. All you have to do is read what I wrote.
You wrote the speech yourself, Gracie.
Every word of it. Here you are, Clara. Go ahead.
Ladies of the Beverly Hills Uplift Society, it is my privilege to pay a greatly deserved honor to our most talented and illustrious member.
Oh, please.
Oh, no.
No artist of our time has done more to further the cause of music than this charming and lovely young woman.
Oh, my goodness, you're making me blush.
Her accomplishments have thrilled the nation, yet through it all, she has remained modest and, what's this word, Gracie?
Oh, let's see. Oh, unassuming.
Oh, thanks. She has remained modest and unassuming.
Oh, and don't think it's been easy.
Oh, no.
So I take pleasure in presenting the Gracie Allen Memorial Achievement Award to Gracie Allen.
Well, girls, I just don't know what to say. Your wonderful tribute has caught me completely unprepared.
Well, I've had all I can stand. I'm getting out of here.
Oh, congratulations.
Well, so help me, if something isn't done to get those buzzards out of my hair.
Well, brother, they've really got you talking to yourself.
They certainly have, Bill. I'm going nuts. That club is making an old man out of me before my time.
Oh, now, George, why get so excited about a few months?
Well, no fooling, Bill. If Gracie doesn't get rid of that club, it's going to ruin my health.
Say, wait a minute. George, if you pretend you're ill, maybe she'll throw him out.
Oh, she'd know it was a phony.
Well, she wouldn't if her own doctor told her you were sick.
You mean that Dr. Lewis, that absent-minded crackpot?
Well, now, wait. Gracie thinks he's a great doctor, even though in his case the MD does stand for mentally deficient.
Mm.
Now, you get him to tell her the club is ruining your health, and that's the end of it.
Bill, you're wonderful. I love you. I could kiss you for this.
Oh, George, please remember you're a married man.
Oh, how could I forget it?
The right thought about any loose talk you might hear around these days. I don't believe in rumors. It's okay, Jimmy, we'll go right ahead.
It's a dangerous thing to repeat what you hear when you don't even know what they're saying is so. Somebody else told somebody else, and that somebody said we were through. But I don't believe in rumors, darling. I want it straight from you. Wherever I walk, the people all talk, and they're saying it's time that I knew. But I don't believe in rumors, darling. I want it straight from you. For everyone knows how a rumor grows when the gossips are doing their worst. But somehow I feel if the stories were real, you would have come to me first. Whatever they say and say what they may, still it isn't a thing you would do. So I won't believe.
what's keeping that screwball Dr. Lewis? I phoned him an hour ago.
Now, stop worrying. He'll get here, and when he does, you'll be a free man.
Bill, if this idea works, I'll owe you a big favor. Just name the thing you want most, and I'll get it for you.
Oh, you couldn't do that, George. You don't know Paulette Goddard that well.
Oh, well, in that case, Bill... Well, here's Dr. Lewis. Hope he isn't as absent-minded as he used to be. Come in.
How do you do? Is this the residence of Dr. Lewis?
Well, here we go again. Look, you're Dr. Lewis, and I asked you to come here.
Oh, to be sure, to be sure.
Yes.
Well, I can see that an examination won't be necessary. You're mistaken, that's all mistaken.
Look, Doc, all I want you to do
I'm sorry, but you're definitely not going to become a mother. Better luck next time.
Doctor, wait a minute, Doc.
No, I can't wait. I have an appointment with a man named Burns. He phoned and said that his wife's health was bad since he hit her with a club.
Dr. Lewis, you're just a little mixed up. This is Mr. Burns, and his health is bad because his wife's club holds its meetings here.
Ah, I understand. My wife belongs to a club, too, and I often say to her, Catherine, no, that's not her name. Isabel? No. Nancy? No.
How about Mrs. Lewis?
I'd love to meet her. Any friend of yours is a friend of mine.
Doctor, look, all you have to do is tell my friend's wife that he's sick.
Ah, but is he? I have to be sure. A man in my profession can't afford to go off half baked, shot, cracked.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
Oh, you're a very nervous man, Mr. Sake. May I call you Pete?
Look, Doctor, I'm George Burns. Go right in there and tell my wife that those club meetings are ruining my health. Got it?
Oh, sure. I never forget a face.
Right this way, Doc. Oh, Gracie, a friend of yours would like to speak to you.
Oh, hello, Dr. Lewis. I'm awfully glad to see you.
I'm delighted to see you, too. Who are you?
Well, I'm Mrs. Burns. Don't you remember? I introduced you to my girlfriend, Tootsie Stagwell, and you took her out.
I did?
Well, you didn't exactly take all of her out, just her tonsils.
Doc, will you please tell her about Mr. Burns' health?
Oh, to be sure. Mr. Health is proud of his Burns, and he should be. First degree, you know.
Goodbye, Dr. Lewis. Out, beat it. Scram, scram.
Well, I'd like to, but I haven't time. I've got to go.
Now, wait a minute, girls. What Dr. Lewis was trying to tell you is this. These club meetings of yours are ruining George's health.
Why, no.
Well, it's true. Why, when I walked in here this morning, he was as sick as he could be. He looked up at me with that pitiful little face of his, and he said, water, water, bring me water. So I gave him water in a bar of Swan, the new white floating soap that's purer than finest Castiles. I knew he'd want that. George knows that money can't buy a purer soap. You just bathe him with Swan. He'll pull through.
Oh, isn't this awful, girls?
Well, don't worry about it.
Really, I never dreamed our club meetings were making George ill.
Yes, Gracie. And it's high time you women considered George, just as you've long considered Castile soaps the standard of purity. Of course, you know that Swan is even purer than finest Castile.
Oh, all right, Bill. You don't have to say any more.
Then you'll help him, Gracie?
Well, of course I will. After all, I married George for better or for worse. It would be awful if he got any worse.
Well, that's fine, Gracie. I'll go in and tell him he's as good as cured. George.
Yeah?
It's all set. Come on, upstairs.
You mean it worked?
Yeah, hurry. All you have to do is get into bed and act sick and no more club.
Oh, great.
Here, give me your robe.
Okay. I'll get into bed. Oh, come on. Come on, you silly-looking duck. Out, out.
Oh. Now, remember, George, get a sad look on your face. We've got to make this good if we're going to fool Gracie into thinking you're sick.
Now, wait a minute, Herman. Now, look. Look, kid, it's sort of a game, that's all, a game. Quiet. For goodness sake, Herman, take it easy. Look, if you keep your big fat bill shut about this, I'll give you a nice sardine. What do you say? Two sardines?
Uh-uh.
Oh, holding out, huh? Well, two sardines is as far as I'll go. Okay, quiet. I'll give you the whole can. Now, go on. Beat it, you little blackmailer. Know what I'd like to do? I'd like to take that little duck. Hey, do I hear Gracie coming up the stairs?
Yeah, I think so. Hurry, get sick. Groan.
Oh.
Oh, put something into it. You're supposed to be sick. Groan.
Oh.
George, is that the best you can do? Think of your income tax.
Oh.
That's it. Now keep going.
Oh.
George, oh. George, darling, I heard you were terribly sick, dying maybe, so I rushed right up here the minute we finished discussing Mrs. Palmtag's new hairdo.
Oh, well, thanks, dear. Oh.
Oh, what's the matter, dear? Where have you got a pain?
All over.
Oh, dear, you couldn't have it in a worse place.
Oh.
Oh, stick out your tongue, George. Oh, my goodness, no wonder you're sick with a thing like that in your mouth.
Oh.
Gracie, come on. You're holding up the meat here.
Yes, Gracie, but I'm here. Now, girls, please. My husband is desperately ill. How dare you think that I'd leave his side to go downstairs and attend a silly meeting?
Oh.
I love my husband, and I'm going to stay with him. Why, if anything happened to George and I wasn't here, I'd never forgive myself.
Thank you, darling.
So we'll hold our meeting right in this room.
Oh, no.
Well, friends, George and Gracie will be back in a moment. So for just a few seconds, consider your two hands. Yes, I mean it. Your two hands, ladies, are two of the best possible reasons for using Swan soap in the dishpan and for any soap and water job. Swan is purer than finest Castiles. Swan is so mild, it actually helps protect your hands, helps keep them soft and lovely. Swan doesn't skimp you on suds either. Tests show it gives twice as many suds in a minute as other white floating soaps. So why use strong soaps? Why spend money on easy-to-waste package soaps or costly toilet soaps? No need to when you can get Swan, the soap that's purer than finest Castiles. And now here they are again, George and Gracie.
George, you shouldn't say mean things about our club. The girls are very patriotic.
They are, huh?
Well, yes. Today at the meeting, I was supposed to serve them pancakes and butter. But they were so patriotic, they refused to touch a single pancake. All they ate was our butter.
Our butter? Gracie, haven't you been reading the paper? You can't get that anymore.
Oh, was it butter? We thought it was batter.
Oh.
The makers of Swan, the new white floating soap, join George and Gracie in inviting you to tune in again next week, same time. This is Bill Goodwin saying, well, I, Swan, how about you? Good night.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Did you hear that music at the end there, Lisa?
Yeah, I sure did.
That's the
United Airlines.
United music, yeah. George Burns and Gracie Ellen, March 23rd, 1943. What are the finest Castiles? Do you hear him say that about Swan soap? As it said something like the finest Castiles. I don't know what that means. I'm sure our listeners do. Let us know. Hit us up on Facebook.
Yeah, it's the Castiles of the soap.
Yeah, but what does that mean?
Yeah, that's the finer part of the soap.
I don't know what it means. I'm just sorry I don't.
I'm telling you, it's the fine part of the
soap.
Maybe
I should start using soap and then I would know, right?
That would be helpful.
Should I try that? Listen, I take a bath once a week whether I need to or not.
And that's why I sit all the way over here.
All right, Making George Sick, George Burns and Gracie Ellen, sponsored by Swan, as heard on CBS. Let's take a quick break, then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. We've got a couple of minutes till the top of the hour here, and I thought we'd talk to my pal George White about his new show that is going to be seen on ION Television later this year. George, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me back.
Tell us all about Master Plan.
Master Plan has been rocking this week. There's going to be some official announcements coming out in the next couple of days, including a reference to the TV time capsule concept that we've talked about. So
yeah.
Watch for that at GetEliteMedia.com. And we have Facebook, which is a Master Plan TV fan page. So look forward to that one.
Now, Master Plan follows a group of guys and one gal, right?
There's actually them, a couple of gals.
A couple of gals. Follows them around the world as they do deals with to buy $250 million hotel chains and all kinds of stuff like that, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, so check this out. And we have been, Lisa and I have been in deep negotiations with George on a TV show for ION. because you have programming, you have a programming kind of schedule for Ion that you're putting together, and he has agreed to our price of $1 million an episode
each.
For Lisa.
Each.
And then $1 million and $1 for me.
Yeah, well, yeah. That's okay. I'm okay with that. Yeah. I don't mind making $1 less.
Yeah, and
it's mostly coupons.
Right, and, it is. Yeah, it's coupons for for what? And so, but I'll take it. I'll take it. And we're going to host a show for George on Ion TV playing classic radio. Lisa and I are going to sit on a couch, we're going to eat popcorn, and we're going to introduce some classic television shows on
Ion
Television.
We're looking for that big popcorn sponsor.
Probably going to call it TV Time Capsule. That's what we're thinking, right, George?
Do we get to wear pajamas, George?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
With little feet.
Absolutely.
Little feeties in there.
And eat popcorn and climb under the covers.
Did you ever see the movie A Christmas Story?
Oh, yeah.
You know? And the boy has the pajamas with the rabbit feet.
Yep.
I have a pair of those. Can I wear those?
You can wear anything you want.
All right, thanks. Awesome. We're going to introduce some fantastic television shows on it. So look for that show on Ion Television as well. So thanks, George.
Our pleasure. Our pleasure.
We're going to start taping those.
We'll keep you posted on that.
What days do you have available, Lisa? I mean,
Monday,
pretty,
Tuesday, Wednesday,
packed.
Thursday, or Friday. I'm good, George.
All can right. We start late in the day on Monday?
Yeah, we'll do that for sure. All right, so thanks, George. I appreciate it. We'll be watching for a master plan, and we'll be hosting TV Time Capsule for you. Ion Television. It's in like 65 million homes, right?
It's going to hit a lot of homes, about 60 million homes and counting.
All right.
The fine folks at Ion add a lot of new programming every week, so they're expanding.
Very, very cool. Well, we're looking forward to it, and we're picking out the classic TV shows that we're gonna intro.
I'm on it, Carl.
And a lot of them will be radio. They used to be radio shows that made the transition to television, like Dragnet, Lone Ranger, Jack Benny, Burns and Allen, Red Skelton Show, things like that. So Lisa knows all about these shows now for doing this all these weeks here on WGN.
I am a work in progress.
Yes, indeed. All right, in our next hour, our third hour, we are going to tune into a scary radio show originally heard on ABC Radio 1944 called Creeps by Night. The original host of the series was Boris Karloff, but after 13 episodes, he was like, yeah, I'm kind of busy. I can't do this anymore. So they had a mysterious host named Dr. X. And that's, we have one of those. We have a Dr. X episode coming up. All righty, it is 1:06 in the morning. Thank you, Esmeralda. And this is hour three of the WGN Radio Theater. We're here till 2 o'clock in the morning. We're here every Saturday and Sunday night from 11 p.m. till 2 o'clock in the morning. And my co-host, my rock, Lisa Wolf, is over here. You're my rock, Lisa.
Thanks, Carl.
You're my right-hand gal.
Thanks.
You know? And those thumbs of yours, man, wow, those are fast thumbs.
My kids tease me all the time. They say I'm so slow texting.
You should see. She's always like, hey, we got a post here. I got another letter. And she reads me the letters. And then she responds. And they're like, brrrr. Never seen anything like
no,
it.
No, I think.
Eighth
and
wonder
I go
of the
slowly.
World. Lisa's thumbs.
I actually don't do it with my thumbs, so you're not
whatever
watching
it
carefully.
Is. Well, I can't see. They're going so fast. I can't
yeah,
tell
it's
what
just beyond
fingers
your
they are.
Scope.
All right. So in this hour, we're going to tune into a very scary, creepy radio show called Creeps by Night, 1944, an episode called The Strange Burial of Alexander Jordan. You won't want to miss that. Pull the covers up close. This is all brought to you in part by our sponsor, Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actress stars in the upcoming comedy Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates, about two brothers who place an online ad to find dates for a wedding, and the ad goes viral.
All right, so if you can answer Lisa's question as to who this actress is,
you will win a pair of tickets to the Midwest premiere of New Country, playing right now at the Den Theater.
All right, the number to call, 312-981-7200. Phone lines are open. You could call now if you could answer that question. Now, here's a hint. She played Becca, the lead in Pitch Perfect 1 and 2.
You are like a troll.
You are physically lawless.
Thank you.
But it doesn't mean I like you.
All right. Can you name that actress? Call us right now, 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after this break.
We are back playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's hear that movie clip one more time.
You are like a troll.
You are physically flawless.
Thank you.
But it doesn't mean I like you.
And our producer, Dan Long, took our call off the air. We have Mark from Buffalo Grove, who is the lucky winner tonight of two tickets to see New Country, the Midwest premiere at the Den Theater, and starring Illinois native Mark Roberts, creative of the hit TV sitcom Mike and Molly. And for more information on that show, you can go to newcountrytheplay.com.
By the way, the answer was Anna Kendrick.
Oh, my goodness. I got so excited with the prize of the New Country that I forgot to say.
Wait a minute now.
It's Anna Kendrick.
This is 2016. Lisa made a mistake.
And no, I didn't make a mistake. It was an omission.
Mistake?
It's not a mistake.
It's a mistake.
No, it was an omission.
What did she say?
She didn't say.
Oh, okay. That doesn't count as a mistake.
That's what I'm saying. Not a mistake.
Anyways,
it's Anna Kendrick. She is the one.
We had her. I could have been giving her some razzle dazzle all week about this.
Nope, sorry.
But now you just let her off the hook. Oh, Dan.
Oh,
this guy's got to stick together, buddy.
Carl.
All right. Anyway,
got a mean streak, doesn't he?
Not at all. Time now for Creeps by Night. I'm kind of a creep, and it's nighttime.
I didn't say it.
So this horror show came to ABC Radio in 1944 because ABC wanted to compete with Inner Sanctum, which was on CBS, Lights Out on CBS, Dark Fantasy, Weird Circle, and others. And they hired Boris Karloff. He played, of course, the monster in the Frankenstein movie, and he was in a million other things. And Boris Karloff introduced psychological thrillers so scary that listeners with heart problems were urged not to listen. They actually said that. If you have a heart problem, don't listen to this show.
That would make me want to listen.
Right. And for a time, Dashiell Hammett, who created Sam Spade and The Thin Man, was billed as the editor of the stories. Now, I don't know if that ever happened, but he was billed as the editor. Karloff left after 13 episodes, and a new host was known as Dr. X. I don't know who Dr. X was. I went all over the internet to try to find out who Dr. X was.
Again, the mystery. Very exciting. Very intriguing.
Right. And some of the... It did have a big budget, though, and there were some big guest stars on it, like Peter Lorre and Edmund Gwenn and Basil Rathbone and Raymond Massey. The stories were produced by Robert Maxwell, who was a big producer back then. It only lasted 23 episodes, though. And we have an episode now for you that stars Edmund Gwenn. Now, you know who Edmund Gwenn was? He won an Academy Award for Miracle on 34th Street. He was Kris Kringle, right? So
yes,
old Kris Kringle is in this.
We recently did that audio drama
right here.
At WGN.
So this is a May 23rd, 1944 broadcast called The Strange Burial of Alexander Jordan. Let's tune this in. Part one now of Creeps by Night.
We bring you Creeps by Night. Tonight, once again, we introduce the man who has agreed to serve as your guide and companion on these sometimes terrifying pilgrimages into the world beyond the realm of human understanding. The man who, for reasons that cannot be presently explained, must keep his identity a secret. Creeps by Night brings you its anonymous master of mystery, Dr. X.
Good evening. This is Dr. X, joining with you for further research into the shadowy darkness of the unexplored, the darkness of the human mind. I wish first, however, to thank you for your letters commenting on last week's broadcast, The Walking Dead. Many of you requested that I reveal my identity, and a few of you hazarded a guess as to who I am. In due time, perhaps, I will be able to step out from under my cloak of mystery. But for the present, I ask you to bear with me, since I shall have to be known only as Dr. X. Tonight I have a rare treat in store for you. Mr. Edmund Gwenn, the celebrated English actor, is our guest. The story I have chosen is drawn from the casebook of medical science and concerns itself with the often ghastly power of fear. Yes, we are all slaves to fear in one form or another. But the fear that forms the basis for our dramatization tonight is undoubtedly the most horrible of them all. It is the fear of... But wait. Let me draw aside the curtain and bring you Mr. Edmund Gwenn as Ramsay in The Strange Burial of Alexander Jordan. For more than a century, the old Jordan house has stood on a gentle slope, mistress of the surrounding 400 acres of birch woods and pasture lands. And now, inevitably, death seems near to the last of the strong men who have always owned it. Aged, irascible Alexander Jordan. In his faded, musty bedroom, the shades are drawn against the hot morning sun. And in the half-darkness, his pale, hollow cheeks blend into the color of the pillowcase. He stirs as the door opens and his doctor enters.
That you, Rutledge?
Yes?
Come in and sit down. Close the door.
What's the trouble, Alex?
Had one of my cataleptic fits last night. A bad one. I'm going to die pretty soon, Rutledge.
Suppose you let me do the guessing.
Don't interrupt. I'm not afraid to die, mind you. I've never told anyone this, but my greatest fear is that it won't be death, and they'll bury me alive.
Oh, I think we can be pretty sure if it comes to that.
Don't be so positive. 38 years ago, a young butcher who called himself a doctor pronounced me dead when I had a cataleptic fit. Near got me buried, too, if I hadn't come out of it on time.
Well, that was 38 years ago.
Could happen again. Rutledge, I don't care if I sound like an old fool. All my life, that scared me. The idea of somebody mistaking one of those fits for death. The only nightmares I ever have, I wake up in a coffin. I put my hands up and I feel the lid there. Sometimes it's wood, sometimes it's cold glass, but there's no room to turn around. I put my hands down and I can feel the silk lining. They have me dressed in a swallowtail. They have a stiff collar on me. I reach up to tear it away. I can't breathe. I have to have air. Panic grips me. I try to shout, but no one can hear me. I beat on the coffin lid with my fists. I try to break the glass, but I can't do it. I haven't enough room. And pretty soon I know that I'm dying. Really dying. In the cold horror of the grave. Because somebody mistook one of my cataleptic fits for death. I don't want that to happen, Rutledge. And that's why I called you.
Oh, you're just getting worked up over nothing, Alex.
Listen to me. When the day comes and my nephew Ramsay or his wife Martha calls you, I want nobody but you to come, Rutledge. I don't want any other doctor to pronounce me dead. Is that clear?
Don't worry.
I want you to go over me very carefully. If you're absolutely satisfied that I'm dead, you can go ahead with the funeral. But I don't want my body embalmed. I don't want anything done to me except to put me in a coffin. I'm getting a lawyer here to write all this down this afternoon, Rutledge. But I wanted you to hear it, too. I want my coffin put in the vault down by the birch woods. That's why I built the vault right on this property, so that nobody would ever bury me underground.
All right. It'll be done just as you say.
Now, wait a minute. I'm not finished. This is the most important part. I want a large brass bell placed on the wall over the bed where Ramsay and Martha sleep. I want wires connected from that bell to the vault. Electric wires.
What for?
I want a push button attached to the ends of those wires, and I want the button placed in my hands as I lie in the coffin, so that in case I'm not dead, in case I awaken, I can ring the bell and let them know.
Well, I must say, Alex...
I don't care what you say. I don't care what anyone says. That's the way I want it.
All right, Alex. That's the way you'll get it.
Make sure I do.
Well, I've got to run over to the Pritchards. Nora's having another baby. Taking that digitalis faithfully?
Yeah. Foolishness. But I'm taking it.
That's good. Goodbye, Alex. Get out and soak up some of that sunshine. I'll see you Thursday.
Send Martha in. Alone.
All right.
Just a minute there, Dr. Rutledge.
Oh. Hello, Ramsey.
I'd like to know why you came this morning, Doctor.
I came because I was sent for.
Why doesn't somebody tell me when the doctor's been sent for? Is my uncle all right?
He's not dead, if that's what you want to know. Not quite yet. Hmm. See that he keeps on taking that prescription I left. He wants to see your wife. Alone.
Martha?
You heard me. Goodbye, Ramsey. I know the way out without your help.
Goodbye, Dr. Rutledge. Mother, wipe your hands. He wants to see you.
What did you say, dear?
I said wipe your hands. He wants to see you.
Is the doctor still in there? Is he all right?
The doctor's gone. He wants you in there. Alone.
Oh, for goodness sake. Now what?
Just a minute. Why is he asking to see you alone?
Why, Ramsey? How should I know?
Something's up. Rutledge was in there a long time. Why wasn't I told he was sent for?
Why, he... Well, you were in the fields this morning when he asked me to call the doctor.
Next time, you tell me when he sends for people. And listen, when you get in there, watch what you say.
Why, Ramsey, I don't know what you mean.
You know very well what I mean. Just listen. And don't babble. He mightn't like my ideas about what to do with this place after he's dead. Go on in there now. You've already wiped your hands 6 times.
Yes, Ramsey, dear. You want me, Uncle Alec?
Yes, come in and shut the door, Martha.
Yes, Uncle Alex. Was the coffee all right this morning?
Yes, fine. Miss Ramsey.
He's in the kitchen.
Sit down, Martha.
Yes, Uncle Alex.
I want to talk to you, Martha. Lawyer Gaines will be here sometime this afternoon to fix up my will.
Oh, Uncle Alex.
Got a feeling my time is drawing near, Martha. And I just want to make sure that worthless nephew of mine doesn't get his hands on the Jordan place. Whatever made you marry him, Martha?
Why, I...
Ah, never mind. None of my business. But I could have told you he was no good. Never has been. I wouldn't trust him with the farm. He'd sell it before my body turned cold. But I trust you, Martha.
Thank you, Uncle Alec.
Yes, I've thought it all over. I'm going to leave the place to you. At least you'll have a roof over your head and some land you can call your own. You like it here, don't you?
Oh, yes, I do. I'd be perfectly happy to stay here the rest of my life.
And that's fine, because it's going to be yours, all of it.
Oh, Uncle Alex, you make me want to cry.
No, no, none of that.
I'm sorry.
There's one more thing, Martha. One important thing.
Yes, Uncle Alex.
I've given Dr. Rutledge some very careful instructions about my burial.
Oh, please, Uncle Alex.
Nothing to be afraid of, Martha. When it comes, it'll come, and that's all. Rutledge knows what to do. He'll tell you. And I want you to promise me that you'll follow the instructions.
Yes, of course, Uncle Alex, on my word of honor. As God is my witness.
Thank you, Martha. Oh, by Jove, you've made me feel a good deal better knowing I have someone around I can trust. Matter of fact, I think I'll get up for supper tonight. Tell Ramsey to come in and help me dress after Lawyer Gaines leaves. Tell him I don't want him in here before then.
Yes, Uncle Alex.
And don't breathe a word about this to Ramsey.
I won't. If you need anything, Uncle Alex, call me.
Yes, I will.
Well, what did the old buzzard want?
His lawyer is coming this afternoon. You're to go in and help him dress after the lawyer leaves.
He's having supper at the table?
Yes. Bring in one of the special hams. I'll bake it with pineapple.
Did it take you 10 minutes in there to decide on baked ham with pineapple for supper?
What we decided is none of your business.
What do you mean, what you decided?
I said it was none of your business. Better get out and feed the chickens.
When did you start giving me orders?
Oh, go on out of my kitchen. I've got work to do.
What did you talk about in there?
Ramsey! You're hurting my arm.
Oh, I'll hurt more than that before I'm through. What's the lawyer coming for?
Would you like me to tell him you haven't fed the chickens yet?
Something suddenly made you awfully cocky, it seems to me. Tell me what it is. Right now.
Ramsey.
Tell me, I said.
Ramsey.
Let go of her, Ramsey.
Oh.
I was only...
Get out of the house before I lose my temper. Go on, get...
I'm going.
If this ever happens again, Martha, you let me know.
Yes, Uncle Alex, but you shouldn't have gotten out of bed this way.
Oh, don't worry about me, Martha. I'm all right.
All right, here's the first portion of Creeps by Night. Very rare program. There was only 23 ever broadcast, and I think there's only four or five that exist. And we're playing one for you here. From May 23rd, 1944, The Strange Burial of Alexander Jordan, starring Edmund Gwenn in a role. You know, we think of Edmund Gwenn as Kris Kringle in Miracle on 34th Street. Here he is in kind of a, he's kind of a mean guy in here. Creepy guy. As heard on ABC. We'll get back to that in just a few minutes. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll be right back here on WGN. Lisa and I used to talk. We do a different radio show, a national radio show, for years. And Lisa and I used to talk and say, boy, wouldn't it be great to have a show on WGN?
It was a dream for us. Yeah. No, and I'm not joking about that.
No. We used to say, wouldn't it be so awesome to do a show on WGN, the legendary Radio 720 WGN. And guess what?
I used to walk by the studio here and look in and say, that's where I want to be, right there.
Yeah?
Yeah, I really did that. I thought, well, I don't know if that'll happen. This is the dream.
I used to be on with Eddie Schwartz all the time when he had his late night show on WGN. And actually, it wasn't here. It was in on Bradley. Was it on Bradley Place, Dan? Do you know the studios used to, before they were here?
Yeah, they were on Bradley Place over there, where WGN TV is, until about 1985 or 86.
Tells you how old
Back
I am.
Back in the day, right? Yeah.
I used to go there. I would be on once a month with Eddie Schwartz, and he'd have me on. And I used to have to stay up all night with him, and we'd play classic radio shows, and the phones would light up like a Christmas tree. And I used to say, from back then, I used to say, boy, if I could ever get a show on WGN, I think people would love these classic radio shows. And Lisa and I used to basically fantasize about it. We would say, you know, what would happen if this, how would we play this show? Would we do this? Would we do that? What would the format be? We were like
kids.
We willed it almost, you know? And then Todd Manley, the phone rang one day. It was unbelievable, saying, hey, how would you like to do a show on WGN?
Well, you made it happen. We both...
What? We both what?
Made it happen. It didn't just come out of the blue.
There's a book called The Secret. Did you ever hear about this book, Dan? It's about when you wish
you
something...
You read books?
Ha, ha, ha. I didn't stay in school as long as you did.
I didn't know.
But I used to think about, you know, it's The Secret's all about, you know, positive mental attitude and trying to, and we just wished and wished and prayed, and here we are. And so I feel so blessed to have a show on this station, because I grew up listening to WGN since a little kid, you know, 100 years ago, and to be able to have a show on Saturday and Sunday nights here and play these classic radio shows and be next to Lisa here and talking on the air to my, I love you, Lisa.
I'm still pinching myself.
To get to do that. It's really great. Anyway, I just wanted to say that.
I know.
Because the listeners make it all worthwhile, and we really appreciate you listeners out there.
True.
All right, so let's get back to this, this episode of Creeps by Night from May 23rd, 1944, starring Edmund Gwenn.
Bacon and eggs for his breakfast.
And why not? Did you fix the fence post over on the west pasture?
Never mind the fence post. Give me that tray.
You tend to your own business. I'll take the tray into him. Your breakfast, Uncle Alex? That's funny. Uncle Alex? Uncle Alex! Oh, my Lord! Ramsey! Oh, Dr. Rutledge! Ramsey!
I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he have everlasting life. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die.
What's the matter with Martha, Doctor?
The funeral was evidently too much for her. I gave her a sedative and put her to bed upstairs. Where's the undertaker?
Down at the vault with the electrician. They're waiting for you so they can close the coffin. Of all the stupid things, he's dead, isn't he?
Yes, but we're observing his wishes to the letter.
Brass bells and electric push buttons rot.
Perhaps it is, but that's how he wanted it. And incidentally, as administrator of the estate, let me remind you that according to the terms of the will, either you or Martha must remain within earshot of that bell upstairs for 7 days. You understand that?
Yes, to my life. I'm beholden to a woman. That.
You could do worse, Ramsey. This is a nice place. I wish it were mine.
If I had my way, you could bite in a minute.
Well, that's neither here nor there. See that Martha gets some rest. I left a bottle of medicine on the small table beside the bed. She's to take it according to directions if she has trouble sleeping.
Good Lord, what's that?
Her uncle wanted a bell loud enough to be heard. He certainly got it.
Doctor, do you suppose...
Take it easy. The undertaker or the electrician at the crypt touched the push button.
Ramsey! Ramsey!
Good Lord, I forgot. The bells hung right above the bed where she was asleep. Come on.
Oh, Ramsey! Dr. Rutledge, the bell!
Oh, it doesn't mean anything, Martha. Don't be frightened.
Oh, thank goodness. I was asleep and it hit me like a blow when it rang. For a moment, I couldn't even move. I felt paralyzed like in a dream.
There, that's all right. Go on back to bed. You'll fall asleep again with the stuff I gave you. The bell won't ring anymore. I'll go right on down to the vault and see if the coffin is closed. Get her back into bed, Ramsey, and let her have another teaspoonful of that medicine tonight.
You just get over to the vault and stop their monkeying. I'll tend to her.
See that you do. And remember, don't leave this place for 7 days.
What's the use?
Is it morning, Ramsey?
No.
Can't you go to sleep?
No.
I'm asleep.
Sure, you've got things your own way. Go on, sleep. Don't mind me. I'm just a hired man around here, just a hired man. Can't you at least make a cup of coffee a man can drink? Slop, that's what it is. Filthy slop.
I haven't been able to get into town and get anything fresh, Ramsey, and you know it. It's just that you're nervous and not sleeping
well. I'll drive into town.
No, Ramsey. We've still got 5 days to go.
Why, 3 nights of it now. 3 nights with that bell hanging over my head.
Oh.
Martha, you asleep? It must be that stuff Rutledge gave her. I'll take some. I can't stand it any longer. Now, maybe... Maybe I'll sleep. I tell you, Martha, there's only one thing to do with the place. Sell it.
You're wasting your time, Ramsey. I will not sell it.
Oh.
I'm not getting any younger. I want a roof over my head. That's what Uncle Alex intended.
But now's the time to sell farms. We can get a good price.
To begin with, Ramsay, it doesn't even belong to me.
Well, it will in 2 more days, won't it?
Yes. If that bell doesn't ring.
Sleep tonight. It's the last night. Tomorrow, the place is ours. I'll take some of that medicine that worked before.
I won't sell the place, Randy. I won't sell.
Talking in her sleep.
I won't sell.
She's dreaming, having a nightmare. Too much of this dope, maybe. Your Martha, wake up. Martha! She's dead to the world. The stuff Rutledge gave her must be powerful. That gives me an idea.
Don't trust you, Randy. Never did.
You won't have to trust me much longer, you dried up old fool. Let's have a look at this bottle. I guess it's all right to turn the lamp on. She won't wake up. There. Now let's see what the label says. Maximum dose, 1 teaspoonful every 12 hours. Caution. Overdosing may be fatal. Overdosing may be fatal, eh?
Never sell at your place.
We'll see about that. Maximum dose, 1 teaspoonful. I could put 3 in her coffee tomorrow morning. She'd never know the difference. That stale coffee's bitter as gall anywhere, and that it fits everything. Yes, I'm her only relative. If she dies, I get the place. Oh, why didn't I think of this before? Why did I wait 6 days and nights with that bell hanging over my head? Why did I? Oh, good Lord! Am I dreaming? No, no, it can't be. It can't. Stop! Stop that ringing!
Ramsay! Ramsay! The bell!
I can hear it, you fool!
Quick! Ramsay!
Stay where you are! I'll stop it!
Ramsay, what did you do?
What do you think I did?
The wires. You pulled out the wires.
Get back into bed.
Are you out of your mind? The key to the vault, where is it?
What?
The key. Uncle Alex must be
alive. You're crazy.
He rang the bell, didn't he?
You were dreaming. Get back to bed.
Give me that vault key, Ramsay. Give it to me.
Now, take it easy.
Don't stand there telling me to take it easy. Uncle Alex may be fighting for breath, breathing against the coffin. Get the key.
All right. I'll go down there.
I'll go with you.
Doesn't need 2 people. Just let me get into my clothes.
I don't trust you, Ramsay.
You've got no right to say a thing like that, Martha. What difference does it make to me whether Alex is alive or dead? I don't stand against anything. He left the Jordan place to you. Oh, now, where did I put that key? Must be in this drawer.
Hurry, Ramsay.
I'm hurrying. Here it is.
You took something else out of that drawer, Ramsay.
I did not. Just the key. What's the matter with you anyway? Where are my shoes?
Under the bed. I'll be watching you from the window, Ramsay. If Uncle Alex is alive, yell to me. And I'll phone Dr. Rutledge.
Storm coming up. That wind's from the east. Now, let's see if this key fits. Fits all right, but it won't turn. Ah, there we are. Now, where's that light switch? Here it is. Yeah, that's better. Phew. Oh, it's foul in here. Even smells dead. There's the coffin. Hope they didn't screw down the lid. No. No, it comes right up. Yeah. He hasn't moved. He's dead. Yes, just the way he was when they put him in there. With his hands folded over the bell button. He didn't ring that bell. Who did? Ah, now I know. The storm. Lightning shorted the wire. Sure, that's what it was. It must have been. Still, I think I'd better make sure while I'm down here. Yes. Martha almost caught me taking this darning needle out of the drawer. I'll work it under his shirt and jab it through his heart. You're going to stay dead, Uncle Alex, no matter what happens.
Bambi!
Martha! You followed me.
I told you I didn't trust you. What are you doing with that darning needle in your hand?
Nothing.
Get out of the way. Let me look at him.
Dead. Stone dead.
Who rang the bell?
Well, how should I know? Maybe his ghost.
You were about to do something with that needle. What?
You really want to know? All right. I'll tell you. I was going to jab it through his black heart. I was going to make sure he was dead. And I'm still going to do it.
Ramsey, you're out of your mind.
Am I? We'll see.
Keep away from that coffin.
Shut up.
I'll scream, Ramsey. The Prestons will hear me.
No, you won't.
Yes, I will. Help! Help!
Oh, so that's how it is. Wait till I close this door. Now scream your lungs out.
Ramsey, don't do anything you'll regret.
Regret? As a matter of fact, why waste this needle on old dead Alex? I might do much better using it on you. Jab it into your heart.
Ramsey!
Why not? Then I get to own the place and sell it.
Ramsey, listen to me.
I've listened to you plenty these last few weeks. Ever since he made you the high and mighty boss. But now, it's my turn.
Ramsey!
They'll never find you down here. No, no, you'll dry up and rot, just like he's rotting in that coffin.
Ramsey! No! Ramsey!
Fainted before I could touch her. Wait a minute. That gives me an idea. There's a better way of doing it. Carry her up to the house, pour that medicine down her throat, give her an overdose. She'll be dead by morning, and no one can pin it on me. Oh, this is beautiful. Everything's working out fine. You're going to be rich, Ramsey. You're rich. Get the door open first, and then... Lord, the key's on the outside. And it's a snap lock. No, no. Oh, what am I going to do? I'm locked in here. I can't get out. The door's solid open. 6 inches thick. There are no windows. No air. Wait. The bell. The push button's in his hands. I'll keep ringing it. Yes, sooner or later, someone will hear it. Yeah, this should do it. The Prestons or the McCarters, they're bound to hear it and investigate. I'll keep ringing it all night. Oh, the wires. The wires in the bedroom. I ripped them out. The bell won't ring. Look out! I'm trapped! I'm trapped in here! I'm trapped! Trapped!
Was The Strange Burial of Alexander Jordan, starring Mr. Edmund Gwenn. For our next exploration into the darkness of the human mind, I have invited the celebrated exponent of the Mysterioso, Peter Laura, to be our guest. So join with us when once again we raise the shadowy curtain of the unknown and look deep into the souls of men. Until then, this is your master of mystery, Dr. X, leaving you with Creeps by Night.
Creeps by Night is produced by Robert Maxwell. Original music composed by Paul Creston, conducted by Joseph Stopak. Supporting Mr. Gwen in tonight's presentation were Everett Sloan as Alexander Jordan, Abby Lewis as Martha, Gregory Morton as Dr. Rutledge, and Dr. X as himself. Edmund Gwen appeared through the courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, whose 20-year anniversary picture, The White Cliffs of Dover, is currently being released. George Gunn speaking. This is the Blue Network.
I hope you like that. Creeps by Night, May 23rd, 1944, The Strange Burial of Alexander Jordan, starring Edmund Gwenn, as heard on the Blue Network. Let's take a break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. Well, you know what, Lisa? We'll be back here next Saturday at 11 p.m. with more classic radio. We're here Saturdays and Sundays, 11 p.m. till 2 in the morning. With classic radio. Want to hear the lineup, Lisa, that you picked out?
Sure.
Would you like to hear
it?
You
can remind me.
All right. So here's what Lisa picked. The Whistler. And Nick DiCilio just walked in. Nick, I know you like these classic radio shows. Would you like to hear the lineup for next week?
I would love to hear it.
All right. So we have The Whistler. That's a cool show.
Yep.
Mystery. Then we have Rogue's Gallery with Dick Powell.
He's a detective.
Yeah. Dick Powell. Awesome. That's a detective. Yeah. And then we have My Friend Irma, Marie Wilson. Good comedy. The New Adventures of Nero Wolfe. Sidney Greenstreet played a detective on the radio. And, you know, he started late in his career. I think he was 71 years old, I think, when he did The Maltese Falcon.
Yeah.
And then they offered him a radio show. He did that. And then Screen Directors Playhouse. I'm not sure which one Lisa picked, but we'll let you know. And then the Charlie McCarthy Show. People have been asking for Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy. How that ever worked on radio.
I know. He's a ventriloquist. So.
It makes no sense.
Yeah.
But it worked. And it did because it was a very popular show on radio, as you know. So that's next week. Six classic radio shows. And people, you could just go to WGNRadioTheater.com and look at the schedule. So what's on this morning?
The weekly movie reviews.
Yes.
And we will also, Eric and Jim and I will also give you our Oscar predictions because the Academy Awards are handed out Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And so
am I on there or anything? Do you know?
Oh, yeah. Aren't you up for Best Actor?
Something. I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Reverend. Or what is the movie?
The Revenant.
The Revenant. I can never say it.
You don't even know the name of the movie that you're in?
Yeah, I can't even say it.
It's The Revenant.
But he's got to get. I mean,
DiCaprio?
He's going to get nominated, right?
Well, he's already nominated.
He's already nominated.
Yeah.
Okay. So wait. They're giving out the award this
Sunday night.
Oh, it's the Academy Awards this Sunday. Well, man, I'm behind the eight ball here, buddy.
Yeah.
You'll
be coming on right after, right about,
he's probably
the,
win.
Well, you'll be coming on, you come on at 11 o'clock on Sunday, right? Okay, that'll be the third award of the
He's got to win.
He's
got to win. Okay, and then what else? And your
My
dad?
Dad's going to tell a joke.
Perfect.
We have some other Oscar-related topics that we're going to talk about. And we have a very unfortunate Blackouts Express to play. On the national stage, the Hawks embarrassed themselves in biblical fashion.
Really? It's technically a wild express tonight, I guess, right?
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up, Dan. Yeah, no, it was horrendous.
It was just horrendous.
Oh, my God.
You know,
God.
Every once in a while, you got to have a stinker in there.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
you know?
It was just such a, you know, heavily promoted game, and it was a big, you know, it was on NBC, and then they just got, I mean, it was embarrassing.
Wow. Speaking of movies, I took my daughter, my 13-year-old daughter, to a movie this week, and we loved it. We both loved it. Zootopia.
Oh, okay.
Zootopia. And I know you like animated films.
You went to, it's not out yet, so you
saw it. Yeah, it was a special screening.
Got it.
Special screening, press screening.
Right.
And that's coming out, but I'm telling you, you are going to love it.
It comes out a week from Friday.
Because I know you like the animated. And
well, they're good.
This was really
good. No, I hear really good things about
it.
The trailer's really great.
And you didn't really like Hail Caesar. I haven't seen it yet.
I didn't.
No.
I was very
disappointed. I'm so disappointed.
Yeah.
I wanted to see
that. Well, you better hurry because it's made like $1.08.
It's right. It's
so
already.
Yeah, you might.
That was a
get
big flop then, huh? Because that was a big, big budget movie. That
it was.
Had to be a big budget
it's
film.
It's not
right?
as big as you would think.
60?
Yeah, that's not big though.
No, I know.
You know how much there's. You know how much this movie, this Gods of Egypt movie that's coming out next week.
Gods of Egypt. Who's in that?
Gerard Butler and a bunch.
Oh, right, and he's like the tough guy in there again. And it's
150 million.
Come on, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Wow. I heard, and tell me if this is true. You would know this. Star Wars. I heard that they spent $50 million more on marketing.
Yes.
Than they did the movie.
Yeah.
It's $200 million for the movie. $250 on marketing.
Yep. And it's made over $1 billion worldwide.
Wow.
It's going to hit $2 billion.
Wow.
It'll hit $2 billion.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.